Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Carlos. I'm the founder and CEO of Product School. And today I'm here with Anik Drumright, who's the VP of Product at Loom. Hey, Anik.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for joining the show. I've been looking forward to meeting the person behind the product that I use every single day.
I mean, there's a lot of people behind Loom, especially Joe and Vinay, our founders. But yes, we have a great product.
So let's talk about your story first. I definitely want to dig into Loom as well. How did you break into product?
Yeah, so I'm a bit of, I would say, a non-traditional story. So directly out of college, I was with an organization called Teach for America for 5 years. Teach for America is a nonprofit that works in high poverty schools in the United States and places high potential young leaders out of college primarily into classrooms, and you get trained and you teach for 2 years. And I ended up spending longer with the organization in a variety of roles. And basically I got to this kind of, and I was in Memphis, I was in Dallas, and I got to this itching point where I was just really ready for something new. My brain was just like hungry for something new. And I made my way to Uber, was in a variety of roles at Uber, ending in a product operations role where I really began able to like work on the product teams and with engineers and with PMs and with designers launching products, and just knew that I had kind of found my home. It's just highly collaborative, sky's the limit. There's a fair amount of, at the beginning, it's all vision work. And then towards the end, it gets into this like kind of really exciting, almost sports game, right? You're like driving to the finish line and you're like, am I gonna make it? Are we gonna get everything we need? And then are you measuring it, right? There's just this like adrenaline rush that is part of product development that I think once you experience, you're like, yeah, I wanna do more of that. And then I decided I wanted to get more into the startup area. I wanted more white paper. I knew, you know, I had experienced a ton of ownership and leadership at my time during Teach for America, and I, you know, had increasing levels of ownership at Uber. But at that point, when I joined Uber, it was like 4,000 or 5,000. When I left, it was well over 10. And I just wanted to be at a smaller company and just experience what a startup was like. So joined Trip Actions as a Series A company, 40 people valued at 20 million as their first product manager, and then scaled the organization to around 30 between product and design, team split between Amsterdam and San Francisco. And just, you know, it was crazy to go from 40 people to 1,200, Series A, 20 million, all the way to a D, valued at 4 billion. And then I had the opportunity to join Loom. And it's just, Joe and Vinay, from a founder perspective, I can't imagine working with kinder or more enthusiastic or more dedicated founders. And then from a product experience, you use Loom, you have Loom solve some of your communication problems, some of your execution problems, and such an aha moment that I just really connected to the problem.
So your story is interesting because obviously, I love education, and you said you worked at Teach for America, then you joined Uber, hyperscaled Uber, and then you join this other startup grows like crazy, then you join Loom. So, oh my God, you know, I want to follow you to see where you go next. You said that at Uber, you were working in product ops. However, you joined this other startup called Trip Actions. You joined as the first product manager. Yeah. Technically, you didn't have the product manager title before. So how did you convince the CEO to give you that title and run the show?
It's a fun story. I'll just begin by saying, during my times as a product, doing product ops at Uber, I was lucky enough to work with a product manager who gave me a ton of autonomy. So I just was able to gain a lot of hands-on experience about what did it look like to run a team and how do you shape vision? How do you size opportunities? How do you size problems? And was just given a lot of autonomy. So I knew that I had taken my time to learn and could do it. And then with kind of joining Trip Actions, I was lucky to find founders who placed big bets on people. And they placed a big bet on me. And, you know, I returned that, right? I returned their investment over and over again. But it took both like me placing a bet on myself, taking ownership of my own learning, taking ownership of all the opportunities in front of me, and also other people placing a bet on me, and then me returning that with performance.
That's powerful. And I think what you are doing right now, also placing a bet on people, giving back to the community, sharing your story, it's very empowering because, as you know, not everyone comes from the same background when they want to break into product. And just having access to role models, to listen to stories, that it is possible, that there are different ways, it's just very inspiring. I wish I had, you know, something like this when I was getting started. I was so lost. I didn't even know what product management was. So let's talk about Loom, because that's also that's an incredible case. Like, I will tell you my story. Like, one day I show up to our Slack and then I see this bot installed, not by me, by someone else. Like, that's interesting. What is this? You know, and I just take I realized I could record the screen. And my first thought is like, why? There's so many plugins and tools out there, right, for recording a screen. So there must be something here. Why don't you tell me the story about what makes you so unique and why you are experiencing such an incredible growth?
Yeah, I mean, so when I first onboarded with Loom, I spent 30 days doing both internal interviews and in customer interviews. Just, I mean, I must have talked to like 50 or 60 people in those first 30 days. The number one thing that users love about us is our speed and simplicity. So it is so quick and so easy to record a video message and send it. And then I think like one of the richest aha moments of using Loom is, yes, that speed and simplicity. But then the next one is you get validation that someone watched it, that someone left a comment, that someone left a reaction. And I think it's both like, it's a combination of the usability, the reliability, and then also like those critical moments of communicating, we give really good feedback on that just makes it a really rich product experience. And I think the way that we are approaching the problem is, you know, when you are communicating with video, there are varying levels of formality that you want to communicate with. Sometimes extremely polished, sometimes very casual. And we want to make it extraordinarily easy to be successful anytime you need to communicate with a video message. And I think, you know, one of the things that I quickly learned in managing like a remote team and working cross time zones was how important video messaging is to make that culture successful and to make your team successful. Because you just lose so much if you're only relying on those two working hours you have, or, you know, a perfectly written email that people are going to take the time to read for 45 minutes and digest. And Loom just makes all of that so much more efficient.
Totally. And I wanted you to explain that vision, because that was the aha moment that I felt as a user. I realized that, oh my God, it's so easy to use. I don't have to install any special software. I don't have to customize the screen or do anything. I can just be myself. And it doesn't need to be polished either. I don't have to go and edit before I send. And that was adopted in an organic way by us to a point. We're a very global team too. We work across different time zones. And I'm not an English native speaker. And there's a lot of miscommunication when you work with people who speak different languages, even the tone, the face, the nonverbal communication. And now we're able to communicate with each other with much more kindness, if you will. So kudos to you. And another thing that I noticed is that it's not just for us communicating, skip meetings or to skip emails. It's also a really interesting use case for the product team to report bugs. Because it's not just, hey, this is not working. It's like, I am trying, look at it. This is why it's not working, right?
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who works on product teams, especially like now in this hybrid remote world or like cross time zone, you have, every single person has experienced the pain of, I have design feedback and you're just not like, I'm just not able to express myself adequately over Slack or via an email, or this thing is going wrong and I like want to help us debug it. And so like, let me record a Loom so I can quickly achieve that. I mean, those pain points are so real to anyone working on product teams.
So now, obviously, I can imagine that during the pandemic, there's more and more people that actually need to rely on this type of asynchronous communication. So how has that impact your roadmap and your internal work?
That's a good question. I mean, we have seen explosive growth. So the level of investment that you put in product quality, security, stability, speed, I think definitely increases as you put more load on a platform. I also think it's become clear that people are really using our product as a quick messaging product, right? As just, hey, video messages sending back and forth. And so just really continuing to invest in that speed and simplicity has been really important to us. But I wouldn't say this has always been the vision of Loom. It's just that the outside landscape is like catching up really fast.
Totally. I mean, that's kind of the answer that I got from other product leaders in different companies, that the roadmaps are being accelerated.
Yes.
But in reality, the vision was always there.
Yes, that's definitely the case for us.
And I mentioned Slack as a very good integration with your product. And obviously I've seen this happening with other companies. Integrations are becoming very important. How are you thinking about that? Do you see Loom as a standalone product, as a platform? Is it more of an add-on to other platforms?
So I see this as an and statement, right? So we want to be everywhere that you work and everywhere that you communicate, right? There's a reason that our desktop recorder just always sits on your desktop, right? You can click into it and get it going with literally two clicks. Same with the Chrome extension. And, you know, we seamlessly embed into Slack, into Notion, into email. And so I think that it will be an and statement for us, for if you want to use our home and you want to get, you know, recently shared Looms, your library of content that you store your trainings in, that will be available to you. But we will also always prioritize working in tandem with existing channels of communication.
I think ultimately that helps the user, just to give them the flexibility to pick their own stack. Yeah. Traditionally, most of the products that I saw, they were trying to become a platform and really bring everyone to them. And that's just not always the case. And I think that the more power the user has to create their own stack and pick what's best for every single use case, that's ultimately better for everyone. And these integrations don't require a lot of engineering, which I think it's great for PMs. That right now, literally with two clicks, I can put whatever, Loom, for example, on Slack or on an email, right? And I don't need to ask my engineer, can you help connect this API?
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about your product team. I'm sure you learned a lot by being at Uber. It's an incredible product organization. Then you created your own product org at TripActions, now at Loom. How are you structuring a product team? Because it's not just product managers, right?
Correct. It's definitely not product managers. I always tell everyone who's new to product is to have like a deep, deep understanding that you are useless without great collaboration. Like, you need to have incredible relationships with your designer and engineering teams.
So obviously there is no playbook for this. In your case, as the product team grows, how are you structuring the different parts of the business? Some people ask us this, but you know, like there are companies that have more internal products and they have more technical PMs, so there are more like consumer facing PMs. So, you know, as much as
my approach has always been, so both Loom and TripActions are B2B to C products, right? So we're obviously like we're selling to in a B2B way, but ultimately we are delivering value to an end customer, to an end user. I have found it most intuitive to really follow that end user experience when designing product organizations, just because I think it generally aligns incentives. Right? You're thinking about the journey of the of the user rather than kind of segmenting it out. And because if you do that, I think you can create a disjointed product experience.
Totally. And knowing that obviously you broke into product from an ops background, among many other backgrounds, now how do you go about hiring PMs for your company?
Hiring?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely believe in a rigorous interview process that's cross-functional. I think it's super important to standardize your interview process just because you calibrate and you can catch yourself up. Just on like how you are judging quality candidate to candidate, I'm a huge believer in having an assignment because it shows you how someone works, how invested they are. And then I think in terms of like the qualities that I hire for, I hire for grit, I hire for results, and I hire for curiosity. And when I say grit, it's really a combination of like leadership and grit. I think that, you know, you have to be curious as a product manager. You have to be a tinker, right? Like understanding how products work, what's going on in the geopolitical world, what is going on in kind of the investor part of, you know, Silicon Valley, et cetera. But I also think that you need to have a track record of delivering results. You need to know what that feels like and what it takes, and that, you know, the last 20% can often be messy. And I think that habit or that practice of delivering results is the same whether you work in product, whether you work in engineering, whether you work in education, right? It's a muscle and it's a commitment to completion that I think you want to hire with a strong track record of. And on like the grit and leadership piece, it's, you know, ultimately you're inspiring teams. You need to help inspire teams to do their best work and achieve a greater goal. And so I definitely hire for that leadership, curiosity, and results background.
So just to be clear, are there any specific education or experience requirements, or do you go more based on the skills that you're looking for?
I think at a startup, I do try to hire for people who have experience in product, just because it is a less formal environment, right? There isn't, you know, there isn't an associate PM rotation that you're going to do that you would generally do at a Facebook or at a Google. And because there's no associate PM experience, I do expect product managers to come in with background in product experience. And then depending on your needs, you make different decisions and trade-offs on seniority.
Totally. And I'm glad that you brought up the assignment part, because there's a little bit of misunderstanding with it in other fields. I know that this is very typical in a design interview, for example, or even in a technical interview. A recruiter would want to see your portfolio or your coding expertise in product, since at the end of the day, we are not coding, designing, or selling. People didn't know what's expected. And one of the things that I strongly believe in is that you can build a take-home assignment. There are some deliverables. There's a lot of things that you can prove before you end up getting a job.
Absolutely. And in terms of assignments, like my approach is I've done both, and I think there's merits to both. One type of assignment is you take the business that you're working at and you give a nebulous problem and you test someone's approach to carving out, like assessing the problem and opportunity space and what that solution would look like and what the prioritization follows. And that's for the company that they're interviewing for. The other one is to give like just a totally wild assignment and you can see how someone breaks down problems and opportunities and you know, push them to create a product for a grocery store, right? Like how would you design the best bag checkout system, right? And the goal in all of this is just, how do you digest problems? How do you prioritize? And I think it's really important to get a taste for that, as well as someone's communication skills, both written and verbal, during the interview process.
Yeah, and I have to give a shout out to a pro school alum who actually joined your team in product. Her name is Julia Zatar. She's a product marketer.
Awesome. I know Julia well. She's amazing.
Yes, she's really amazing. So another thing that I'm very curious is about your own learning style. I believe in lifelong learning, right? Doesn't really matter what title you have. I'm sure there's always another goal, at least personal. So what is in your bookshelf? How do you learn these days?
I definitely listen to a ton of podcasts. We were talking about this earlier, but I think podcasts are, it's such a great way to like take a walk and also be learning and be just hearing from others. I think one thing that I definitely think is true when learning, I think often people are gravitated to others' success stories, when I often think you can learn a lot from other people's failures. And so listening to that human story and kind of others' experience in growing companies and products, I just find very inspiring. So I try to listen to those a few days a week. And then, you know, the regular business book is sometimes fun. I think the ones I have on my bookshelf right now is What You Do Is Who You Are, which is Ben Horowitz's second book. Option B by Sheryl Sandberg. I mean, it's great to get inspired by great leaders' stories. But I do think that, you know, it's not only just curiosity about what's happening in the business world and within the product environment, but I also think just curiosity on how you can continue to grow as a person and continue to manage yourself and your own emotions and your own communication is equally important. So I try to kind of balance both of those learnings.
I can't agree more with you on that. I think you need to be a good person, a complete person in order to be good for others and a good leader. So kind of beyond work, what are you learning these days?
Well, I'm currently learning, I'm recommitting myself to my yoga practice. So I'm currently on a 30-day cleanse, which I think is very good for the new year. My product team has started having watercolor happy hours. So we did one formal watercolor class, but now we're informally building our watercolor skills. And just some cooking. So my learning on the side has been really much more joy-based.
But you know what's really interesting for me is that you never stop learning. And when I ask this question, you smile and you have a curiosity for work and life, and that kind of is contagious. So I believe that nobody's ever going to believe more in your product than yourself. And having that type of passion is definitely really powerful for other people who want to continue in your team.
I think the other thing that I would say that I'm actively learning on that's both personal and connected to work is just communication and how people communicate. And how effectively people communicate. It's obviously important day to day as a product manager, but it also is like the heart and soul of the Loom product is helping you be the best communicator you can be. So that's been fun, where it's kind of combining something that I'm both naturally and personally very curious about, but also gets to be reflected in the product.
I can imagine that your company uses your product like crazy, right? They drink their own champagne, but I'm curious, what other tools or products are part of your product stack?
I mean, Google Sheets for sure, Slack, Loom, absolutely, Figma. Those are our general go-tos, fair amount of Intercom. Those are our go-tos as a product team.
So for people who might be thinking, okay, this is amazing, but you know, I don't know if I can do it. Like, what type of advice would you give to your younger self before you even broke into product?
I would say, first and foremost, I think there's always going to be, you know, people who you can learn from. And I think everyone should take the opportunity to learn and really nurture that relationship. And say thank you, right? Like, let them know that you are learning, and make sure that when they give you an opportunity, you're over delivering on that, that you do what you say you're going to do it by earlier than you said you were going to do it by. But I think really nurturing those opportunities is huge. You know, one of the mistakes that I have made and continue to make and will always be getting better at is, you know, a core skill set that I rely on is grit and hard work. And that's really important. And that's propelled my career definitely, but that only takes you so far. So make sure every once in a while you are pulling your head up and you're aware of the market and you're aware of how things are changing. I think often sometimes when you're earlier in your career, you can hold goals too tight and then you lose perspective. So I think that mentorship piece is hugely important. And then the other piece is definitely rely on your work ethic and being committed, but don't be afraid to like pull your head up and make sure that you're still driving towards what you want in the style in which you want to do it, right? How you do things does matter. And it's just super important to continue to build perspective regularly.
Totally. I think what you said about how you do things and your reputation matters. I mean, we were just talking off the record, like people we have in common. I'm sure this journey is very long for everybody. And if you're doing the right thing, you're going to keep connecting with good people and you never know. So
yeah,
as you said, saying thank you, asking, saying please for me helped me tremendously.
Definitely.
So, Anik, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, it's just been so fun. I thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to kind of like reflect on your experiences. And I think product management is a totally rad profession. I think that no one should think of it as overly precious. It's just curiosity and work and awareness and wanting to work with other people to build things that are great and matter. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.